The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Happy New Year. It's great to see you guys here back this New Year, 2016. Has anybody made the mistake and wrote the 1-5 yet? I'm the only one. Great. We spent the day yesterday paying bills, and I kept writing January 2015. It was not good. Anyway, good to see you guys here. My name's John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church. If you're visiting, we want to say a special welcome to you. We are starting a brand new series today we want to call Transformed. How many of you like Transformers? How many of you still like Transformers? Good, good. The movies didn't ruin it for you. That's good. How many of you own a Transformer? How many of you have like a really old one? Anybody? You do? That's awesome. Do they make like a big one when you put them all together? Or is that like the constructing cons? Did you guys hear that? It's been like 10 years since you've played with them. Just 10. We should get together. That's right. I love the Transformers. When I was a kid, it was one of the coolest cartoons I would watch. The first one I ever owned was Mirage. And you guys know who I'm talking about. He's like an Indy car. And I always thought the lamest one was that one that was a Volkswagen Bug. You know who I'm talking about? Of course, they souped him up with the remake and made him a Camaro. His name is what? Exactly, Bumblebee. He is one of the coolest, and even back then was cool, but I'm glad he got a makeover and is now a Camaro instead of a Volkswagen Beetle. I think that had to do with marketing and advertising stuff going on. Volkswagen didn't want to put up the money, but Chevy forked it out. Anyway, today we're talking about transformed, how you and I are called to be transformed by Christ, by the Holy Spirit and Him working in our life. As we enter this new year, God wants you to know that He's ready to do something new in you. If you've been walking with Christ for 40, 50 years, there is still time for God to do something new in you. If you've been walking with Christ just 50, 60 days, God is ready to do something new in you. And each and every one of us, God is calling us to a next step, to a new life, to a new year. And my hope is that we, not only as individuals, but as we as a church, as we as a community embrace the newness that God is bringing into our lives, we will see God do amazing things, things beyond what we could even imagine or think of. And so today we're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture. The main one is going to be Ephesians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Our ushers will pass those out. If you don't own a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it and keep it. We believe that life transformation can come through it as the Holy Spirit brings these words to life in your life. But Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to camp out, verse 11. Before we go there, a couple verses kind of over our whole series I want to break down for you. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Here we go. It says this. And we who with unveiled faces, who is that talking about? That's talking about you and I, who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. There was a time in the Old Testament days when people would come to worship God, they would go to this temple. That was the dwelling place of God. And in the innermost part of the temple, there was this area called the Holy of Holies where God would come and meet, and a chosen Levite, a priest, would go in and meet with God on behalf of the people. But when Christ died on the cross, one of the most amazing and powerful things that happened when he died on the cross is He made it possible for you and I, the common person, any one of us, to approach the face of God. The veil that separated the Holy for Holies in the temple was literally torn from the top to the bottom. This was God saying, I am here for all of you. And what we need to see ourselves as is people with unveiled faces. We now can come boldly to the throne of God for what He wants to do in our lives. We with unveiled faces, who all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead, do it. It might be a little awkward. Some of you did not turn. Some of you are like, I am not turning my head. Look at the person next to you. When you look at them, when you think of them, do you think of Jesus? Now, some of you are hitting one another right now. Stop that. That is the goal. That is the goal for each and every one of us, that we would reflect Christ in our life. And yes, I'll be the first to admit that there are some areas of my life that do not reflect Him at all, that I need to learn to have transformed by Him. Today, we're going to start a series. We're going to look at elements in our life that require God's power to transform us, elements in our life that are needed for us to become the people that He's called us to be. And this transformation starts with us allowing God to come into our life and begin that work that we cannot do on our own. How many of you at some point in life, maybe even this year, made some kind of New Year's resolution? Raise your hands. Let's see them. Ever. Have you ever in your life made a resolution? Raise your hands. Let's group participation here. How many of you ever broken a resolution? Every hand should go back up. Okay. Maybe there's one or two special people in here that has never broken a resolution. Every year. Last year, I made a resolution to lose 20 pounds. I did, but I found it again. So I have that resolution again to lose that weight. There are New Year's resolutions that come for all of us, but sometimes we put the wrong priority in the wrong areas. And we need, as a people of God, to look at the things that are really important. My hope is that over this next month, from now until our anniversary weekend, which is Valentine's weekend, whatever that Sunday is, that we'll celebrate our 5th year, 5 years. Isn't that exciting? Hello? Am I the only one excited? As we celebrate 5 years, there's so much that God has done. Just in the month of December alone, we had close to 40 people give their hearts to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. And there's so much more that God wants to do in us and through us as He unites us to be His body. I loved going through the Christmas season. One of the reasons is because we got to see our whole body worship together. A lot of our college students were back. Our 9:30 and 11 o'clock service worship together. It was awesome. God wants us united. He wants us empowered together, not just to be transformed as individuals, but to be transformed into one body, the body of Christ. We are called to be that one body. We are called to be the church, not just to gather together for an hour or two a week, but to be living and breathing as the church in this world 24/7, bringing transformational change through the love of Jesus Christ to any who would receive it. Today, we're going to look at one of the key passages that speaks to transformation, and that is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 32. I want to encourage you to keep coming back for this series throughout the month of January. We're going to look at areas, spiritual areas of transformation, physical areas, emotional, mental, relational, financial. We're going to look at every area. And I'm not going to tell you what weeks we're talking about what, because you may choose not to show up that week. But come back. We're going to try and cover all the bases of how Jesus wants to come and invade every area of our life and bring blessing and wholeness and healing and show us how we're to be the people He's called us to be. So, real quick, we're going to try and get through what I'm just going to call 6 elements God uses for transformation. All right, number one. Transformation requires coaching. Yes, it's needed. All of us need it. How many of you played Little League? Anybody? How many of you were like in sports or athletics or anything that had some type of mentor when you were young? How many of you still are doing something like that? Okay, some of you. Okay. All of us need coaching. In some ways, you think as you get better, you may need less, but I talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think. In Little League, I remember we were lucky if our team had a coach, period. Usually, it was just whatever parents showed up that day and said, hey, run that way, kick the ball that way. We were lucky to have a coach. You know, by a little older, and when you joined an official league or whatever, I remember being on a baseball team. We had a coach that was actually a former baseball player. At least that's what he said, former professional baseball player. But if you notice now, if you look at like the sideline of a championship team like the Redskins, what is up with that? Isn't that... There's something wrong when the Redskins are actually, I mean, I'm excited. I've been cheering for the Redskins for 20 years, and they've never really made it this far. But if you look at their sideline, you see a ton of coaches. It's not just one coach. There's not just the head coach, but there's a special teams coach, the offensive coach, the defensive coach, the quarterback coach, the running back coach, the wide receiver coach, the carry the water bottle coach. There's coaches for everything now. Even your top CEOs of companies have mentors and coaches and life coaches. We all need coaches. We need people pouring into us saying, tweak this, get rid of that, improve this. We need it. All of us need it. The Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us that we don't need just one coach. We need a group of coaches. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, they're spelled out for us what these kind of coaches are like. And here's a key principle that I hope you discover, not just here today, but as you get involved more in seeking God, is which one of these coaches is God calling you to be? Because each and every one of us have the giftedness to equip one another, the body of Christ. Here are the coaches spelled out for us in Ephesians chapter 11. It was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, in some versions that says shepherds, and some to be teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service. So that the what? Body of Christ may be built up, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to a whole new measure of life. So these coaches are needed in our life to help us work towards one another. Each of these coaches, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the shepherds, the teachers, the evangelists, they all have different roles and different functions that work to shape you in different ways. We need their involvement in our lives. We need them in each other. We need to be them for each other. Some of you are great teachers. Some of you are great caregivers. How many of you are sitting next to someone who really knows how to care for people? Raise your hand. Yeah. We have a lot of caregivers are shepherds, and we need shepherds in our lives. These pastoral caregivers in our lives. We need this among one another to become the people God has called us to be. Where do I get that from? They are given those gifts to equip the people, that's you and I, to become the body of Christ so that we become mature to the full likeness of who He is. Does becoming mature happen overnight? Is it like you're walking down the street one day and all of a sudden, I'm spiritual now? Does it happen like that? No. Actually, in the contemporary English version, it says it like this. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, a different version says it like this. As God's Spirit works within us, we are continually being transformed to become more like Christ. This changes from one degree of glory to another, and it comes from God. So you and I, we need coaches. In order to get through all six, I'm going to have to cut these short and expound upon them in future weeks. So if you look back through scriptures, everybody had a coach. Joshua had who? He had a guy named Moses. Okay. There was a guy named Elijah. He was shepherded and mentored and coached by who? Elisha, exactly. There was a guy named Solomon who was coached by his dad, David. David was coached by a prophet named Samuel. Jesus was coaching the 12 disciples. Paul adopted spiritually this young man, Timothy, and coached him and mentored him. And then Timothy was told, go and teach others who will teach others who will teach others. We are to be involved in this kind of relationship. Are you? Yeah, you're here today. That's a great step. But we hope that you surround yourself with a couple, maybe even in a smaller group, something like a community group, where you can get a little bit more open with who you really are. Let's get in each other's mess. You're like, no, I just want to be happy and put on my church face. That's nowhere in the Bible. We're supposed to be in each other's mess, loving on each other, caring each other, the junk and all. We need coaches. Number two. Transformation requires learning the truth. It goes on to say, that in verse 12, let me start there, to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants or children tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we will grab hold of and we will speak the what? The truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. We are to learn the truth. And we learn the truth from where? From God's Word. The Word is truth. Jesus Himself said, these are His dying words. Dying words are usually pretty important. This is the night before Jesus is arrested. He is praying to God the Father. And in John 17:17, He says, use the truth to make them complete. Your word is truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus didn't just teach the truth. He didn't just point people to the truth. He didn't just say, here is some truth for you. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to do what's right in your life, if you want to make some changes that are the right changes, that are the true changes, if you want to know how to be better with your finances this year and handle it in the way of truth, study God's Word. Look at everything He says about money and start to apply it. If you want to learn how to change and better your marriage, start to study the Scriptures and see everything that God says about marriage in Scriptures and begin to apply it. If you want to learn how it is to be a parent or to have right relationships or to have the right kind of sex life, study God's Word and Jesus will reveal truth to you. Transformation cannot happen apart from learning the truth. Our third point today, transformation requires new thinking. New thinking. So, Ephesians 4:17 through 19, continuing on, he goes on to say, so I tell you this, and I insist on it. I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do and the futility of their thinking. We live in a society where reasoning and thinking and philosophical thought is changing with every season. And we need to be careful to know the foundational truth that God established from the beginning. His truth is never changing. And instead, as we are grounded in the truth and know the truth, then we will know the right things to do. We will know. Moses said to Joshua, Moses was coaching Joshua. He said, study God's word. Do not depart from it to the right or to the left, and you will be prosperous and faithful wherever you go. If you want to see the right kind of change in your life, we've got to know the truth and we've got to let it shape the way that we think. He goes on to say, having lost all sensitivity in verse 19, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. This, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you learned about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. What is required is that we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change us from the inside out. 2016 is not a year for you to simply start doing the right things. Let us start thinking the right ways. Just doing the right things and doing acts on the outside isn't going to change who you are. Anybody can go out and do anything. But if you allow God's Spirit to come and renew you from the inside, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we let God's Holy Spirit come in and change us from the inside, the fruit of real change will come out. If I were to go out and buy an apple tree today, a small one at Home Depot or where can you buy an apple tree? At a nursery. Okay, thank you. So if I were to go buy an apple tree, this probably isn't the right time of year to buy an apple tree, is it? At the right time of year, if I were to go out and buy an apple tree and plant it in the backyard and go out the next day, should I expect to see apples? Are you sure? Okay. So what if I was impatient and unsatisfied and I decided I'm doing this my way? I went out to the grocery store, bought a bushel of apples, came home and tied them to the branches and said, "Brandy, look, we now have an apple tree." Is that the right way to do it? So many of us do that with life, though. We think if we simply just change the way we act, we'll change who we are. We'll speed up the process. The thing is, the change has to come from within. It doesn't matter what kind of fruit I tied to the branches of that tree has to bear its own fruit. It's going to take time, it's going to take nurturing, it's going to take the right kind of stuff getting in the soil for it to ever have a chance to bear the kind of fruit that it's called to bear. And the same way in our life, it doesn't just take the right actions. You can't. My hope is that your New Year's resolution isn't simply, "I'm going to go to church every Sunday." It's not bad. That's not what God's after. God's after your heart. He wants what's inside of you. He doesn't just want you showing up an hour a week and checking a box. Now, that's a good thing to do. Come and hopefully you'll start to get what He really wants. But what He wants is a new way of thinking, a new attitude, a new transformation to happen in the inside. When we change the way we think, we'll begin to change the way we feel about certain things. And when we change the way we feel about certain things, it will give birth to right actions. So, let's resolve to change to a new way of thinking. In Ephesians 4:23, it says it like this. It says, "To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Number four, transformation requires something I hate: cleaning house. How many of you enjoy chores? How many actually, are you serious, Vontae? Well, good for you. There were times when I didn't want to do other things, and sometimes I find dishwashing stress relieving. Am I weird? Does anybody else feel that way? A couple of you. Okay. So we'll get together and play Transformers and then wash dishes. Good. Sometimes there are certain things, but for the most part, I don't want a clean house. But it's necessary at times. In Ephesians 4:22, it says it like this. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and instead to be made new in the attitude of your mind." So we need to put off the old things, our old way of life. In Hebrews 12:1, it puts it like this. "We must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially any sin that distracts us, so we can run the race that lies ahead of us." God has so much in our future that He's calling us to. He has so much in our near future that He's calling us to. Let us not let sin trip us up and keep us from becoming the transformed people He's calling us to be. But some of us, if we're honest, we've got some habits that are deep. Any of you got a bad habit? Yeah? How many of you have quit your bad habit 50 times? And your resolution is to quit it another 50 this year. Yeah, exactly. Transformation requires house cleaning. We have some things that are hard to get rid of, and we're going to tap into some of these things. And my hope is, as you go through the series and see, I need some work in this area. Habits can go deep, and sometimes we can't just, okay, I'm stopping tomorrow. Sometimes it's not that simple. Why? Well, first of all, four things real quick. Because they've been there a long time. Some habits have been there so long that they're deeply rooted, and you just can't uproot them, at least not without tearing things up. And so you might need the loving care of a shepherd, a counselor, a friend in your life to help you work through some of the habits that are not so good, some of the unhealthy things there. You've learned to cope through life with some of these things. And yes, they've served some purposes in a sense. You've been able to get from one day to the next, but they're just delaying the inevitable. And we need to help you find a way to get true healing and true help and not just take care of things with temporary pleasures and temporary fixes. Another reason we find it hard to get rid of bad habits is we've grown to identify ourselves with them. The things that we've done, we feel we've become. But you need to know that you're not the bad things you've done. You are who God has created you to be, and He's here to set you free. Instead of identifying with your defects, let's start to identify with who God is calling us to be. Number three, because they've had a payoff. We've done some things, even though they're wrong, they work. How many of you have yelling in your homes? How many of you will admit it? There are sometimes yelling in your... It's even in my home. There are times when, you know what, it works. Sometimes I know I have to raise my voice in order to get my kids to obey. And so I raise my voice again. Is it ever right? Well, it's not. It's never right. But we've learned it works. We've got to unlearn some of the habits that are wrong. And the fourth reason is because Satan is fighting against it. He doesn't want us to change. He doesn't want us to be healthy. He doesn't want us being the people God has called us to be. And so as we journey together, as we go through the series and equip each other, as we maybe even start some journeys together outside of this and maybe some counseling or coaching sessions, we want to be a church where you can overcome your habits, your hurts, and your hang-ups and become the people that God has called you to be. And the fifth thing, transformation requires authentic community. We want to be that for you. We want to be the kind of church where you don't have to put on your fake church face and come and fool people into thinking you've got it all together. We want to be a place where we can be broken and real with each other, where we can say, here's where I'm messing up. I need your help to help me overcome this. Where we can be a place to love on each other instead of condemn each other. Jesus came to set us free. And we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus in each other's lives, loving on each other, helping each other. It's been far too often the case that the Christian army has been known for shooting its wounded. Instead, we need to be a place where we're caring for one another and building each other up. It says this in Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbors, for we are all members of the same body. Let us be honest with one another and build each other up and lean on each other. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with who? With those in need. We are here to help those who are in need. We are here to build each other up and not talk with unwholesome talk against each other, but only for what is useful for building each other up. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind, loving to each other, forgiving each other, just as God forgave you. Are you in an authentic relationship? Are you in an authentic community? Our hope is that you would find that here. If you haven't, let us help you. We'll help you get plugged into a community group. We'll help you get plugged into a men's or a women's groups that meet on the weekends. We have different groups. Maybe God's leading you to start a group. We've got a lot of newer people coming that aren't in groups yet. Maybe God's leading you to be one of the people to help care for others in that type of setting. And the sixth thing that we're going to close with today, and we're going to dive into all of this more throughout the series, is that transformation requires faith. The key is that we cannot be who God calls us to be on our own. We need to put our faith not in our own will, but on Him who has the will and the power to change all of us. It says this in Ephesians 3:20, one chapter backwards, right at the beginning of chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 20 says this, and to Him who is able, not to me, to He who is able, that is Jesus, to He who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through strong will. Is that what it says? Through hard work and determination. Is that what it says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you need Christ in your life? Not just as your Savior, do you need Him to change your life, to make you new this year in 2016? He wants to begin or to continue a new work in you, making you the person He's called you to be, so that we can be the body He's called us to be. Let's pray. Guys, I am so excited about what God is doing in this church. I'm so excited about what He's doing in your lives as individuals. To see close to 40 people open up their heart to receive Jesus' forgiveness last month, and to accept Him as their Savior, is just the beginning. There are thousands and thousands of people that live in our neighborhoods that do not know who He is. That not only need to know Him as Savior, but need to know Him as Lord. That need to know that He can bring help and hope no matter what it is they're struggling with. And as a church, we want to be a place that not only proclaims the gospel, but brings hope through handouts where needed, through putting presents under families' Christmas trees where needed, to giving hope to those who are stuck in addictions and sinful habits, through good Christ-centered counseling and practices that will help set them free. As we begin to be that for one another, we will see God begin to bring transformation power to us and to all around us. But it begins right here, right now, with you being willing to open your heart and saying, Jesus, let the transformation start with me. I give my heart to you. Come into my life and make me who you want me to be. Help me to get over my habits, my hurts, and my hang-ups so that I can be used for you. If you're here this morning and you would say, that's the first step for me. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. Today I came to church. I'm not even sure why, but today I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need to do it now. Then I would just ask you to pray after me. Just God can see into your heart. He can hear your mind. Call out to Him and say, Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. The Bible tells us when Jesus was on the cross, He bore all of our sins, mine and yours. And His blood was shed to forgive us of our sins, to make us white as snow. And so call out to Him and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Forgive me for the things that are in my life. Forgive me for the deep-rooted addictions I have, the things I can't stop doing that I know are wrong. Forgive me. Make me clean. Make me new. And help me to follow you. Call out to Him and say, I choose to follow you. Come into my life. Make me new. I give my life to you. Father God, I pray for those who are crying out in their heart to you right now, that your Holy Spirit would come in and just invade their heart with love, invade their heart with forgiveness, invade their lives with wholeness and healing, and make them the children you've called them to be. God, I pray for those in this room who have been on this journey with you, myself included, that need to see more transformation in our lives. God, that we would yield our hearts to you in the areas of our life where we know things need to change. Help us to say, Lord, take us. Have your will in us. Make straight our paths where they're crooked. Help us to follow you. God, this is our prayer. I pray that for each and every person in this room. Help us to surrender to you in the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As our worship team begins and continues to lead us in a time of closing worship, we all know that instantaneous change doesn't just happen like that. It's a process. But it starts with you instantly crying out to God and surrendering and saying, begin in me now, Lord. If you made that decision today, would you let one of our prayer teams know? I'll be up here at the front. Just come and say, I'm ready to begin anew. I'll say a prayer with you. We'll have prayer teams on the sides of the room over here under each of the basketball hoops. Make your way to them and let us pray for you. We're here for one another. And for the rest of us, and for those of us when we're done praying and our hearts are right, let us remember that all of this is only possible because of what Jesus did for us. We have tables in the back of the room. There are four of them. As family or friends, we want you to make your way back to those tables and to serve each other, to hold the basket and let one another take a piece of bread out, a symbol of the body of Christ broken for you and for me. And as we dip that bread in the cup, a symbol of the blood shed, let us eat of it and drink of it, remembering that Christ died for us and suffered for us so that we can now live for Him. So when you're ready to partake in that, we invite you to go back. And if you're alone here today, we'll have church volunteers back there ready to serve you. Let us serve one another. Let us come to the cross together, remembering that this is why we live for Him. God, move among us now. Be with us. Those of us that are giving our hearts to You for the first time, those of us that are saying, God, I'm ready for something new. I need to start over with You. Be with all of us now as we draw close to You, I pray. Respond now as the Lord leads you.